a very warm welcome to this week's Geraldine Jameson interview. Now, my guest today hails from Austria and is a Christian Science practitioner. Dr. Robert Ennemoser has a doctorate in biology and natural sciences, as well as experience in classic homeopathic medicine, and has been invited to speak around the world at a number of prestigious universities and medical facilities, including Cambridge University, and also throughout Europe and the US of A. Well, Dr. Ennemoser, a warm welcome both to the Isle of Man and indeed to the program.
Thank you very much, Geraldine. Thank you.
Now, first of all, for our listeners' sakes, let's establish the basic ethics of Christian Science. Is it religion combined with medicine?
It's an interesting question. Thank you. Of course, we could put it like that. It's religion which is medicine. Not combined with medicine so much, but it is medicine, because the simple and basic idea behind it is opening, connecting to the divine depth of life, love, truth, is making an effect in a person, in an individual, not only in the moral plane or ethic plane, but also in the physical plane. So we see that the functions of the mind actually govern the physical conditions as well, and even lead to healing.
But surely homeopathy does that as well, in a way.
Yeah, the approach in homeopathy is a very different one. You do not apply mental tools for gaining any success, but you just take in medicine. In Christian Science, even homeopathic medicine, which is surely not crude medicine like molecular substances, but which is energetic medicine, but it is taking something into yourself. So Christian Science is a very different approach. You take something into your mind, ideas, thoughts, which comfort you, which connect you to the deep life powers we all have access to, but not always even are aware of that.
Whose ideas and whose thoughts are these?
Everything what is connected to life as being powerful, as being able to restore you, as being able to support you, to live you, is an idea which heals and helps. And we expand this even further. We find in Christian Science, whose author and whose founder is Mary Bigarady, lady of late 19th century of Northern America in the area of Boston she lived. She defined God as life. She defined God as love. But not in the human sense, more in the infinite sense. So for me, as a trained biologist, the idea of life was very important. So I always learned about life in the biological dimension, that life is in some way fragile, subject to be destructed and so on. In Christian Science I learned, if you go deeper, if you open for a life which is all-powerful, you find that you can experience restoration of the body from disease in an even higher degree.
But aren't really all Christian religions, their basic ethic surely is this, as the one thing that unites Christians, whatever sort of Christians they may be, that there is this supreme being, that this all-empowering being, i.e. God, is very much about love.
That's very true. That's very true. I think the same as you say. It might be that Christian Science has a very practical approach insofar that, for example, if you speak about prayer, I do not ask God to intervene in my affairs so much, but more I open my mind for the action of this divine presence, which is ever-present. So it's a little bit more my opening of the mind for it, and letting govern my whole being, even my body. And this is an approach you do not find so often. It's a very simple idea, in fact, and you're very welcome to experiment with it, as I did. When I first learned about this opportunity to try that, I just did it.
What happened?
I can give you an example. I was practicing homeopathy and I did a short holiday with a friend of mine. We were high up in the Alps, hiking there in the rocks. He had some complaint. He was scheduled for an operation right after that holiday, and he was not so sure if he could do it, because he had pain in the abdomen. He had a chronic appendicitis, and he was scheduled for an operation right after that. And as we were there, he became quite sick. Symptoms aggravated quite a deal. So, high up in the mountains, I just offered him what I could offer him, this very newly learned method of Christian Science healing. And I said, if you want, I try to help you with that. And the procedure was that. I sat down, went into quietness, and sorted my thought. I opened my mind widely for divine life, to govern him, even in the respect of his abdomen. So I opened the mental plane for the action of this powerful life. And I did this again and again. And he said to me after some hours, keep doing that. I feel some relief. Keep doing that. I did that, and he fully recovered in the next day. When he went back to Vienna to have this operation, he said to himself, oh, you know, I feel so fine, I think I cancel that operation. And he did that, and he never had any symptom with that whole thing. So this was a very small experience, of course, but it encouraged me to go further on in this direction. And I experienced much more deep healings than that.
Mm-hmm. So when you say it encouraged you to go further on, did that mean study?
Yes, study that method of healing simply.
And from this original motivator, this original woman, Mary Baker Eddy.
Yes. I went into Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is her basic book and which is a teacher of Christian Science healing, and learned how to do that. Also with the help of practitioners I made contact with to learn about their appliance.
So do you think, Dr. Robert Enemoza, that you were chosen by a being beyond, you know, our earthly planetary limits here, that you were selected to be a Christian Science healer?
Not more than any other person is called for, because I think it's really everybody's calling to learn to open his mind, her mind, simply for a cooperation with all-powerful life, which is present everywhere, and I think everybody can, of course, learn it. It's not a personal gift, of course it is not. And this is very important for me as a trained scientist. It is a science. You can learn it, you can teach it, and you can apply it beyond the level of faith healing.
Well, tell me about the scientific bit, because you're not placing your hands, you know, on, for instance, this friend of yours on holiday in the Alps with you. I mean, you didn't place your hands on his stomach where the abdomen was sick and so forth.
No, I did not, because...
It isn't a physical thing.
No, it is not. The role of the thought is the important one. When we go back to the Bible, where we find the origin of the Christian healing, we see that sometimes hands were laid on, but not always. So the laying on of hands is not the essential. The essential is the mind. What do I think? What do I connect to? So this is what we really deal with, the mind.
Christ laid his hands on the sick and the dying and so on, didn't he?
Sometimes, very often not. Very often he did not. This is very interesting to read about that, because it shows that no physical measures are involved really in that. It might be a gesture of turning to somebody or comforting somebody, but it's not the essential of the healing process. The healing takes place in the mind. I open the mental space for this divine presence. This has not really to do much with the hands.
And how many people think or act or behave along these lines throughout the world? How do you meet up with other Christian scientists?
Of course I do. I have contacts to Christian scientists.
Are they mostly in America?
I wouldn't say mostly. It's worldwide spread. There's some substantial growth of that movement in Africa, for example. But what I see as much more important is that in general thought, the idea or the concept that the mind, the spirit, not the psyche so much, but the spiritual plane, plays a big role, or can play a big role in the healing arts, is rising, definitely. So this is the reason why I sometimes am invited to speak in hospitals or present the healing I experience for doctors to have a look on it, to draw conclusions from it, and to discuss the things.
Are you a fervent evangelist?
No, no, absolutely not.
You don't feel that that's necessary because you have a gift, perhaps, that others on this earth do not have, or not very many of us have?
No, absolutely not. It's, I stress that, really, that everybody is able to learn Christian Science Healing. I am also a teacher of Christian Science Healing, and they offer class instruction in how to heal. As I see, everyone who applies clear-cut rules on a case, might be himself or another person, can experience healings to a certain degree, and he can go forward in that and achieve more. So it's a science. This is very important.
How important is it, though, really, that made you were studying homeopathic medicine? As you say yourself, you're a very qualified scientist. And in the middle of all that, you suddenly gave it up.
I do not see it that way. I didn't really give it up, as I see it. But it was simply...
Have you left that behind?
It is an extension of my thought, as I see it. I am grateful for all I learned in of biology and of these methods, which use the even finer attenuations, like in homeopathy, for curing people. But I saw we have a much more deep source as the biological level of life. Life is much deeper. It reaches down into the infinite, into the divine, if you will. And we can draw infinite restorative powers from that.
How is Christian Science received by the other religions?
It depends more on the individual, I think, than on the religion. So, I of course have sometimes Muslims in lectures listening to me, coming then to me and asking, do you think that, I mean, it's Christian Science, do you think I can apply as a Muslim what you talk about? And I say then, of course you can, because what I'm talking about is surely based on the Christian thought, on the Christian healing, of course, we find in the early centuries. But Jesus is not talking about Christianity alone. He is, of course, dealing with universal spiritual laws. And you can, of course, translate this into your language. You will understand. I often... I'm very aware of to take a little bit out the Christian touch of language I use in lectures, especially in an environment like medical facilities or multicultural places, that everybody can connect to it. And I think many people really can connect to it very easily if we draw a little bit out that very Christian touch of language. We need not to use this. Mary Big already, in fact, helps to find a language which is universal. When she gives seven synonyms for God, for example, life, love, truth, spirit, mind, principle. So we find, of course, a connection to every background, I think.
What kind of response do you generally get from people? Do you find them open-minded from the outset?
Not always. No. Absolutely not, because sometimes it's really a problem to get over these misconceptions people have beforehand, you know. They think, oh, the subject of spiritual healing for me is something mysterious, so don't touch it, don't even talk about it. So this I find, of course, sometimes. But whenever thought is open-minded, scientific, open to explore new things, it's easy to communicate, of course.
How widely accepted is Christian Science practice worldwide?
I mean, it is practiced worldwide. So, to speak about the acceptance, I don't see it so much a goal to spread Christian Science, but more to communicate the basic thoughts of it. Because many people practice, of course, as I would say, in a degree Christian Science, by applying some of the same rules we apply. This happens, of course it happens. So I wouldn't say that Christian Science possesses all the truth or so, like somebody would say. Of course it does not. But it formulates in a very extensive and practical applicable way these universal laws of spiritual healing. And this is why I love it so much, and why I am so much in Science and Health, for example, to apply it in the practice and to learn more for the practice. I think that the acceptance of Christian Science or spiritual healing is surely rising all the time, because it's a natural development of the human thought to rise from material thought to a more refined thought and to go into psychoanalysis, for example. If you look back in 100 years, you see the rise of psychoanalysis, and you see that dealing with life is more mentalizing. So I think it's not the trend, it's a real evolution to go more and more into that aspect.
Are you tolerant of other Christian viewpoints? I mean, for instance, let's take an example here. There must be a difference, I would think, between spiritualism and your spiritual science, if we can put it that way. You know, yeah. There's a Christian spiritualist church here. I'm sure there are in many towns and cities throughout the United Kingdom, just take our part of the world. But you wouldn't embrace them, would you? Or are you tolerant of their viewpoint?
Of course I am. I was on a conference in Italy where a speaker was a lady representative of the spiritualist church, and we had some exchange, and I was fond of her talking about her own experience and thoughts, but it's not what I would support. I mean, that communication with the world thereafter, so it's not part of the Christian Science thought or practice. It's, let's say, very this-sided, so to speak. I don't know if it's a word in English. There's no mystic part in it. Absolutely not. It's very plain scientific.
Basic.
But on, of course, embracing that dimension of the infinite, of the absolute, of the all power of life and love to heal.
So in a way, although you denied being an evangelist, but you must be slightly, you're teaching people that they, if they just had that little tweak, could open their minds like you have.
Oh yes, I simply encourage people to look into that aspect of experience. They can...
What happens in a Christian Science church? I mean, do your followers go to church once a week like most Christians do? Do you sing hymns? Is there baptism? Are there rigid rules to be obeyed, really?
Yeah, the Christian Science Church meets twice a week. One meeting is on Sunday, a Sunday service, and it is built up of texts from the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health, which is designed to heal thought, to raise thought out of limitation, out of sickness, sin, being lost somewhere. And it's always focused on healing very much. So these readings which are delivered have the goal to heal people simply, and to be a mental power in the congregation, for the city as well, to lift thought, to be easing, connecting to the divine simply. And the meeting on the Wednesday evening is reserved for, and there's also a short reading, and after that the congregation can share healings they have experienced in their own lives, so they can listen to each other and learn from each other as they dealt with different claims or different challenges.
Is there baptism in your church, such as Christ taught?
Yeah, the baptism, as we understand it, is more than a physical baptism. It has to be really experienced every day, I would say. This submerge in spirit, this being deeply connected to your divine source. This is true baptism, spiritual baptism. So there is no physical sacrament like this.
And when somebody dies, comes to the end of their lifespan, how do you treat that? Do you treat that differently or similarly to the rest of us when we lose somebody who has passed on?
I think, of course, we offer some sort of service for that, to again to sort thought, to make, to ensure those who are left back that they are not missing now what their beloved one has brought into their life, because divine life is still there and will unfold anew all the qualities, all the elements which they now feel to miss. So to, a little bit to heal that sense of loss, and also to ensure them that life is eternal, it's not over, and to make this very clear to them.
You don't bring connections through from the spirit world, do you?
No.
Such as you find in the Christian spiritualist folk?
No, we don't.
Were you ever tempted? You must have been searching somewhat privately yourself through the various religions.
Yes, yes.
I remember a friend of mine, an ordinary, pleasant friend, a chap, where I was brought up, and I remember he went to the library. He spent several months going to the nearest library to look through and understand and read about all the religions in the world. I mean, this is quite far away from our Western side, but, you know, in the East as well, the Far East and so forth. And he read about them all and so on. But at the very end, I asked if he'd been fulfilled or found a path that would give him some inspiration or consolation or whatever, or direction. And he said no.
It's very interesting, yes. I understand this very much, that somebody is going into that, exploring that literature about this subject. I myself, I might be too much a scientist to be, to go too much into that direction.
Is there a clash then within you?
You know,
the scientific side and then the spiritual, the powering.
You know, there's a very important point, I think. If I lose somebody by death, for example, I could react that way, that I want to have a connection, I want to have a communication with this person. I take hold of it, of him or her. I do not let go of her, yeah? I think it would be much healthier not to stick so much to that person, but to really be open for what divine love is giving you today. So unfolding all these elements you seem to miss in you and from within. So to go too much behind a person would be a danger, I would say, and could lead you into some mysticism, of course. I'm not so sure if that's a good path to go. It's not my way, at least.
I mean, when you walk into a room, strange people there, perhaps, you never met them before, here you are, first visit to the island, strange situation for you here. Can you connect with someone? Can you sort of feel, well, this might be a person, I'm getting some waves, that they'll open their mind and come along on the same track as yourself?
Might be, but, you know, I didn't, and I have not the intention to train this sensitivity so much, because, you know, what I learn in Christian Science again and again is not to go so much into the powers of human mind, but set them a little bit more aside and being a transparency, making the space open for deep mind, deep intelligence to manifest itself.
You're a teacher, you're a lecturer. How do you live economically?
Oh, this is very much based on my daily healing practice. So I live just on my healing practice. And of course,
the church provides.
No, the church doesn't provide anything. And this is very healthy, I think. So everybody who is a Christian Science practitioner is self-sustained. So if he demonstrates healing in a degree that a practice evolves and sustains, he will survive. And this is very healthy, I think. So you are dependent on your daily demonstration of healing. This is very, very healthy, I think, and I'm happy for this structure. Of course, I get a fee when I hold a lecture somewhere.
Yeah. Finally, Dr. Enomoza, we're living in a very troubled world, both from planetary activity as well as man's inhumanity to man. How do you deal with that yourself mentally? Does that concern you? Do you see a path forward that would help us all?
And I thought about Mary Bigoretti. She, at her time, in her environment, was very much interested in what was going on around her. And I think she's really an example for me how to very openly connect to the environment and to take part in what goes on and to be a healing influence. So I think it's one of our duties to really contribute a good thought, a healing thought, and not only a thought, but only an act, acting for positive projects everywhere. Of course we do, but it always begins with the mental. If we bear in mind that many things go the wrong way and where will it lead to, and we always be in that negative mood, it wouldn't be really a help. So the starting point is a constructive thought, to be aware that in might be regions where is a conflict, to open the mind that constructive thought, positive thought, ethical thought is there, because divine mind supplies these ideas. And as I know from the individual practice, healing an individual, I know that it makes an effect for the collective as well, if I have this very supportive view of my world. Because I am, in a degree, I am a creator. I am contributing to the building the world better.
Well, Dr. Robert Enomoza, you are a very interesting man, a man of great depth, I feel, and I'm sure you probably will return to the Isle of Man. I hope you enjoy your visit here, and thank you so very much indeed for finding the time to join me on the Geraldine Jameson interview this week.
Oh, Geraldine, thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be here.